I want to draw your attention today again to the words of Jesus. Last Sunday morning, we focused on one of those things that Jesus said about himself when he described himself. He described himself by saying, "I am the light of the world." And we talked about what it meant that Jesus is the light of the world and the incredible things that Jesus does for us. And to really have a heart that's humbled and open and listening to who Jesus is will open up doors in your heart and your spirit, kind of in that deeper place, deep down on the inside of who God is, that he is an amazing, incredible God who wants to connect with us individually, and he wants to connect with us personally. Last 2 weeks, we've looked at two of the statements where Jesus talked about who he was. First, we looked at, "I am the great shepherd," and what it means that he's the shepherd. He's my shepherd, and I shall not want. And then the light of the world. He describes himself that way. When Jesus said, "I am the light, and I am the good shepherd, and I am the door, I am the way," he's giving us a front row seat to understand the heart of God. When we hear the words of Jesus about what he says about himself, it's like God kind of just stops in motion, kind of just stops everything. And he says, "Okay, I want you to see, I want you to hear, I want you to sense who I really am." These statements about Jesus help us to know that. Studying those statements that Jesus makes, we call them the I am statements of Jesus, is a great blessing. And it can help us to sense things that we might miss or we might not be aware of or we might easily forget about. There are so many ways to listen to the words of Jesus, and sometimes when we listen to the words of Jesus, it just helps us to understand the fullness of who Jesus is. And I think these I am statements help us to do that. As we prepare for communion this morning, and in a few minutes we're going to receive it together, I want to first look at some of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. I want to draw our attention to especially the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew and some things that Jesus said there. Again, that helps us to understand the breadth and the depth of the heart of God. The Sermon on the Mount, it can be described, I'm sure, in 1,000 different ways, but one of them is the Sermon on the Mount helps us to see how wide and how deep God is and the number of subjects that Jesus talked about. The Sermon on the Mount is found in 3 chapters in the book of Matthew, Matthew 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And each one of them just gives us some more about the breadth of God and the depth of God. And one way to study the Sermon on the Mount, and I'll just suggest one way, if you want to study who Jesus is, and you think, "Well, you know, how do I read the Bible? How do I read these chapters?" Here's one way to do it. Look at these statements and then what Jesus said about them. For example, Jesus made quite a few statements in a row that start with the words, "Blessed are." Blessed are. You just stop there. Blessed. People who understand the heart of God, they're blessed by that. They understand the reality of the heart of God if they are these things and follow. For example, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers." And so many others where Jesus simply tells us, if we slow down enough to read them, and I don't mean just read them quick on the page. I'm talking this morning about reading them in the depth of your heart. When you open up God's Word, you're not just saying, "Oh, I'm going to have my devotions and read for these things and then I'm done," but saying, "God, what do you say to me about you? What do you say to me about your heart? And what do you say to me about me?" Well, Sermon on the Mount's a great place to look at the things that Jesus would say to the depth of our hearts. Another statement that he used, and especially more in chapter 6, but also he said, "You have heard, it has been said, but I say unto you, you have heard." Boy, we hear a lot in our culture today. We hear a lot of voices speaking, and Jesus would say to us, and Sermon on the Mount brings that out, Jesus saying, "You know, you've heard, it's been said, but I say unto you." You want to know the heart of God, read those beautiful statements. And then one more, and there's others too, but especially ones that are kind of on my mind and I've been thinking about and looking at this week. Another one is when Jesus says, "When you." Always pay attention when Jesus starts out conversation. He starts out a story. He starts out something about him when he says, when you. For example, he says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. All about the heart. All about our heart and who we are before God. The Sermon on the Mount is about who we are before God. All of these are ways to hear Jesus and deeply connect to some of the meaningful things that he said to us. I encourage you to dwell in the Sermon on the Mount when you have an opportunity. One more opening in the Sermon on the Mount, just two words, and that's what I'm going to focus on for about 10 minutes or so this morning. Two words from the Sermon on the Mount, and to hear the heart of Jesus for us, and to hear the heart of Jesus for the church. And it's very simple for us, for who we are, for who you want to be. And those are the two words, you are. Jesus also talked about not only who he was, but he talked about who we are, who he wants us to be. Chapter 5, verse 13. Let me read these verses if you want to follow along. Four verses. Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus starts out in verse 13 and says, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus is talking, of course, about influence. How important it is that every single one of us who are believers, who have said in our hearts and by faith responded to God, Jesus wants us to know that our influence is important right where we're at, right in our little circle of influence or big circle of influence or whatever it is. How you live out your life is so important. You are the salt of the earth. You are the tool, a tool by which God will change people and God will speak to people. And salt was so very important in Jesus' day, and it's important in our day. We know how important, when we just think about our food and how important salt is to the human body. Of course, I'm sure we've all heard that without salt, your body would die within so many hours. Salt is so important to who you are physically. And so when Jesus uses that illustration, it certainly is something that connects to us about something that is so important. In Jesus' day, salt was very important. There were places where salt was used as currency, not in Israel, but other places. Roman soldiers in some of the provinces were paid with salt. Salt was so important in Jesus' day, and even further so in Israel. You think about the geography of Israel and what you know about Israel. You've heard of the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth, and there in the Dead Sea, as the water flows in but doesn't flow out and evaporates, the minerals and the salt is left behind, and the Dead Sea is this amazing environment that's just fascinating, the variety that's in the Dead Sea and the salt that's there, and all around, especially the south end of the Dead Sea, are salt plants and other mineral plants. And Jesus, of course, in his day would have known about all those salty and the salt of Israel and all those things. And so when he uses that illustration, he would have used something that had been very connecting to the Israelite people. You are the salt of the earth. We know how important salt is for our survival. And Jesus is saying something about the work of the church and the body of Christ, that you, wherever you're at, if you're a believer, are the salt of the earth. He also says we can lose our saltiness. The only way that I understand that salt can really lose its saltiness is by contamination. Salt itself, as I've read anyway, is a chemical compound. If the chemistry breaks down, then salt breaks down. But a way that salt loses its saltiness is that it's contaminated with other things. And how true it is in our faith, if we allow things to contaminate what is good and right, and how we lose our saltiness. And
Jesus said, if you lose your saltiness, then you really don't, it's just to be thrown out and trampled by men. Salt is so important in our world. Your witness is so important to our world. Salt is flavor. Your witness is flavor for God. It tells people that God makes a difference in your life. You think of the two primary qualities of salt, I think number one of flavor and number two of preserving. How important it is that we both flavor and preserve what is good and what is right and what God can give us in this world. Have you thought much of the good that you can give in this world to others by the way that you live? Do you realize that how you live will influence other people? How you deal with your life and your circumstances will encourage other people. Let me give you a few scripture verses of examples of how God wants us to be salt. And here's just one: a soft answer turneth away wrath, from the Proverbs. Think, well, how does that relate to salt and influence? Think about that. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Somehow in the spirit of God's people is to be a responsiveness that is attractive. It flavors. It preserves. I think of the New Testament. When a brother is overtaken with a fault, those of you who are spiritual, restore such as one in a spirit of humility. From chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There's so many different ways that we can live out being the salt that God wants us to. You are the salt of the earth. And then Jesus said in the next verse, in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Again, that's amazing, because last week we focused on John chapter 8 and Jesus talking about being the light of the world. And how now he says in this context, you are the light of the world. In the same way that Jesus is the light of the world, he wants the church to come behind him and to reflect that light and be a conduit of that light. I've heard the comparison of the sun and the moon, and how, you know, both are important, the sun during the day and the moon at night. But even at that, there's the greater light and the lesser light. And I've heard the comparison to Christ and the church. They both show light, but the moon actually doesn't shine its own light. It's only the reflection of the sun. When we see the beautiful full moon out there, we think, oh, wow, the light in the moon must be on. It's not true at all. It's simply facing the sun, and it reflects the wonder of the amazing sun. And that's the way we're to be as Christians. We're to reflect something. We're to reflect that we're turned to God, that our face is toward God, and then people can see us. They can see that God informs every area of our life, and God changes us and helps us helps us to see Him. We know that Jesus is saying in this context that we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. We are a conduit of Jesus' light. I want to say this morning that when we come for communion, we're also saying, God, we want your spirit to shine through us to other people. In communion, we receive the broken body and the blood of Jesus, and we receive that into ourselves, and then we're to reflect who Jesus is out of ourselves. So when we take communion today, I want to invite you to ask God to let your light shine for him. Focus today on communion is saying, God, we need you. We need you to help us to be the salt and the light that you want us to be. You may be the only light that some people will see in your circle of influence, whether it's in school or at work or at home or in your family. You may be the only light of Jesus that people see. If your witness is the only picture that they have of God, would it be enough to attract them to Jesus? Think about the people in your circle of influence this morning. If you're the only Christian, if you happen to be the only one in their life who believes in Jesus, would your witness be enough to attract them to him? Here's another way to think about it this morning. What influence does your light and your faith have in the people around you? Does it drive out the darkness? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Your life, your light matters to God. I want to say this morning that every one of you who's a believer, your life and your light matters to God. God wants to use that to touch other people for him. How you live out the good and the bad, the joys and the challenges of life, God cares deeply about. Don't underestimate how important your light, wherever you're at this morning, whatever's on your mind, whatever's in your path, whatever your course is today, whatever it is, God wants to use you as a light where you are at. It speaks volumes. Verse 15 says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, every one of us have that potential of our light being seen or our light being covered with a basket, being covered with something. But Jesus says, take the basket off and let the light of Jesus shine before you. I want to invite you this morning as we receive communion to ask God to help us. Ask God to help you to know how you can let your light shine for Him. We need Jesus to give us that light. And we come to ask for Him for His help today. Communion is a time to ask, a time to receive. On the night Jesus died, He took the bread and He gave thanks. And He said to His disciples, take and eat, for this is My body, which is broken for you. Do you know that you may be the only light that some people ever see of Jesus? What a responsibility that is. You may be the only Bible that somebody reads. Your life may be the exact one that God wants to use to influence somebody else. So when we receive communion this morning, I want to invite you to pray, God, help my light where I live and where I'm at to shine for you. Would you stand together this morning?